We have got a fantastic episode for you today. We've got World Cup coming to Kansas City talk. We recap Boulevardia from this past weekend. We've got some openings and closings around the city to get to. Talk about what we try this week and then jump into our mixed plate of Lorenzo Cain plays, our favorite plays from Lorenzo Cain as retirement might be in his near future. So we've got a great show for you guys today. Kansas City is home to a rich brewing history dating back to the 1880s with Ferd Heim and George Muehlbach, and the marks they made can still be seen today throughout the city. Prohibition took its toll on the breweries in KC, but in 1989, Boulevard Brewing Company founder John McDonald rekindled that brewing tradition when he brewed and sold his first batch of pale ale. More than 30 years later, that spirit of Kansas City can-do attitude is in everything Boulevard does. From creating Tank 7, an award-winning American Saison, to brewing Space Camper Cosmic IPA, an exhilarating exploration into the universe of hops, to developing one of the nation's largest barrel-aging programs, and even more recently with the introduction of Quirk Hard Seltzers. Real fruit, real fun. At the heart of Boulevard Brewing Company lies the intersection of traditional brewing and modern technology. Visit the brewery and take a tour to sip and see 32 years of brewing experience and maybe catch a glimpse of the future to where that Kansas City spirit of innovation will lead. Boulevard Brewing Company, Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans, presented by Boulevard Brewing Company. Today, did I say the date?
No, not yet.
Today, we are the Ritz Brothers. Today is June 21st, first day of summer, technically.
Nice.
Technically. And Kansas City World Cup.
Yes.
Is coming to us. I truly.
It's funny. Hold on quick.
Yeah.
It's funny you say first day of summer. I knew a girl in grade school whose AIM, like AOL screen name, was Summer Girl, and it was because her birthday was 6/21. That's how I remember it.
Oh, wow. So that is why you know that today.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so just a little side tangent there.
But, I mean, truly when
sorry
that...
Sorry to interrupt your World Cup.
I know. I was on such a good roll, too, to start off the episode. So, come on. I had great momentum. But, yeah. I mean, the World Cup is coming to Kansas City. Seeing that announcement, it was truly just... I was in a, like I knew it was, or like I had a good feeling it was going to happen.
Yes.
But for when it actually happened, I was in shock a little bit. Like, holy shit, the biggest sporting event in the world is coming to Kansas City.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about considering the other cities that we're hosting along with. And it's just insane to think about the amount of power and the amount of influence and the amount of pomp and circumstance and the amount of money that is involved with something like FIFA and the World Cup. And like everyone hears stories about like how corrupt FIFA is and the amount of money it takes to play their game type of thing. And just like the amount of power and influence that an organization like FIFA has in bad ways and in good ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think there's a lot of good things that come from the World Cup and soccer, but also obviously a lot of bad things. And then the fact that Kansas City is now a part of that whole big moving machine and we're a major part of it and one of the host cities, it's crazy to think about because although for the last, 10 years, Kansas City has been on the up and up and Kansas City, the downtown growth has been happening and people have been moving to Kansas City and you see it anecdotally and you see it just in the growth from new apartment buildings and different things like that. But then for something as big as the World Cup to say that they're going to play games here is just insane. And we punch above our weight more than any. And we've always thought that, right? Like mm-hmm. anecdotally in Kansas City, we've always had this like pride and this thought that we're bigger than we actually
are.
And
I think a lot of Midwest sports towns say that.
Yes.
They do. I think Chicago, maybe, well, they're probably too big, but Milwaukee would say that.
Yeah. St. Louis would
Denver,
say that.
Denver, St. Louis.
Yeah. The Quad Cities
would
say that.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But this is proof that
proof
we
in the pudding,
truly do.
We really do. And we're able to mobilize and put something like this together to get accepted. I mean, it's just, it's funny looking at the other cities, and then it's just like, or looking at a map and all these big coastal cities that you recognize, and then seeing Kansas City right there in the middle. It's just, it's an incredible achievement. It validates a lot of that, like, that feeling that we have as Kansas Cityans, that we do punch above our weight, and that we are up and coming, and that we are growing, and all of those things that we feel about ourselves, it's so validated with this, and it's just, it's incredible. Like, it's such a massive, massive deal, mm-hmm. and it is so much, there's so many moving parts that are going to take place in the next 4 years, and there's so much, like, so many eyes that are going to be on Kansas City for the next 4 years. And it's crazy to think about. And it's cool to hear stories about how did we get here, and or people who think, you know, these are some steps to how we got here. You know, the rise of Sporting KC and the new ownership that they got when Cerner or Neil Patterson and Cliff Illig bought them. And like the rise that they brought Kansas City along with them as they grew, and because they were good, it turned Kansas City into a soccer city. And not only because they were good, but because they built the stadium that they did and made people want to go out there, like, because it's a cool stadium. And then, you know,
the training facilities that they've built that have come along with it that have grown soccer. It's going to make countries want to make Kansas City their home throughout the World Cup because of the training facilities that we have.
Exactly. And like showing up for the Women's World Cup, like Power and Light, throwing those parties and incentivizing and getting people to come down there for the Women's World Cup watch parties when there's 10,000 people standing in.
Have you seen some of the other like watch parties?
Yeah.
From like the World Cup news.
Exactly.
Like, Washington D.C.'s was in a hotel banquet room.
Yeah.
Like a dimly lit hotel banquet room with hundreds of people.
Like, yeah. In New York City, it looked like, you know, the set of Good Morning America, where there's like three rows of people there mm-hmm. that are like standing on the streets of Times Square, and there's like, you know, maybe a couple hundred people in the middle of Times Square, and they're mostly just tourists walking through. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's just all of that has built to this. I think like this doesn't happen if the Chiefs aren't good, right? Like if the Chiefs and the prestige and power that being a good NFL team brings and allows you, that can't be understated, because if the Chiefs sucked and if no one went out to Arrowhead on a daily basis and if we didn't have six primetime games every year where, you know, Arrowhead gets to be, you know, showcased at night in a full stadium with the greatest football player of all time, like if all of that isn't happening, I don't think we get the World Cup bid. So mm-hmm. like so many things had to line up for us to get it, and they all did. And it took a lot of work because, like I said, people at Power and Light have to be willing to put on those watch parties for the Women's World Cup and the Men's World Cup and stuff like this. And it takes a lot of hard work, and so many little things have to go right. And I think that's what's awesome that FIFA gave it to us, because if you're LA or New York or Dallas, like, you knew it was coming.
It's coming.
It wasn't a surprise mm-hmm. at all. Like, you expect to be given these things if you're in one of the three biggest markets in the country. But like, we're the 33rd biggest market in the country, and mm-hmm. we got it. And it's just, it's so freaking cool. The amount of work, how much credit do we get?
I don't know.
I think a good amount.
Kathy Nelson was a friend of the show.
As being an mm-hmm. award-winning podcast, and in a couple of years, the best podcast in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
talking about sports and culture and openings and closings and events.
We've given Sporting Kansas City players the Kansas City of the Week award.
That's true.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think
we've had Sporting Kansas City players on the show.
When we're talking about the pie and slicing it up and who deserves a lot of credit,
Don't forget about us. Carve out a little sliver.
A little sliver of pie.
Like you're going back for seconds.
Exactly.
And you want a little sliver, that's how much of the pie we get.
There's no way the FIFA officials didn't listen to State Your Line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were like, all right, let's see what kind of culture is
in this
city.
What kind of culture here?
Let's find the best local podcast.
What is this?
There it is.
Is this a podcast about Kansas City?
Uh-huh. And do you know how many times, like one of the unique things about Kansas City that's going to be mentioned? Because I think the broadcast, and as they select cities and they start talking about them, they're going to dumb it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the mention of State Line Road is going to be in there.
Ooh, okay.
A lot.
So?
A lot. I'm already seeing it in some write-ups about like what makes Kansas City a unique city as a host city.
Yeah.
And it's the two states.
Wow.
And State Line Road.
So unique.
So
I'm looking right now
for that to
see.
Way overplayed.
I mean, we've had listeners in Ireland, Mexico, Germany, Canada, India, Luxembourg, Taiwan, Morocco, Costa Rica, Italy, Netherlands, France, Australia, Russia, Bangladesh.
Yeah.
We've had listeners, according to the Anchor app,
worldwide.
In all of those countries. So, I mean, Bahamas, I want to keep going, Pakistan, definitely not bots. Definitely
yeah.
not bots
yeah.
or people VPNing out of different countries. Nope. Mm-hmm.
We've got fans there.
Yes.
And that's FIFA listening.
So it's just incredible.
And having one of the best turf management teams.
That's a good point.
In the
yes,
world.
Because we do have
Arrowhead.
To retrofit Arrowhead a little bit.
One of the best in the world.
The corners have to be, Arrowhead's going to have a little bit of expansion in the corners of the field to make it regulation size. We've got a new airport next year. We've got the NFL draft next year. We've got the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight coming in 2024, and then the World Cup in 2026. Stay hot, Kansas City.
Very, very hot.
It's just, yeah, it's incredible. I guarantee, so this is kind of, might be a bad day for the Royals downtown stadium people who don't want it to come downtown, because I bet that was part of it. Like, hey, we're going to have a downtown baseball stadium too. So just...
By 2026?
4 years to build it, you think?
No.
Okay.
But maybe it was. Maybe
How
it was.
How fast can you build a baseball stadium?
That would be fast.
But yeah, it's so cool. I can't wait to see. So like Power and Light as a fan zone, right? That works for, it's packed for
yeah.
the Big 12 tournament,
mm-hmm.
which is 10 teams from cities like Ames, Iowa.
Yeah.
And
Waco, so Texas.
We're going to have to get a lot bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be exciting to see like how we construct a fan zone, where that goes, the different transportation methods that we build and use, the different infrastructure that comes into this. Who knows what happens out there at Arrowhead over the next 4 years to accommodate all this. Like, there's going to be some sick renderings.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for some really cool renderings. And
I mean, we could learn something insane. From the draft of as far as fan zones and watch parties.
Yeah, the fan zone might be up there in that Liberty Memorial.
That'd be
lawn.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a drug park.
Probably everyone from all over the world's coming. So let's just be accommodating.
Yeah.
Just
so
relax and hang out.
Going to need something bigger than P&L for sure. But yeah, it's so cool. It's mm-hmm. insane. And I can't wait. I can't wait to be a part of it. I can't wait to...
And it's not as far away as,
no,
say, like an out-of-conference
no
football matchup.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
that gets planned 10 years,
yeah, exactly.
12 years.
We get excited
yeah.
about those things.
Mm-hmm. But this
yeah.
is just four short years.
Exactly. And it's not even 4 years, because, like, everything's going to have to start. Like, the planning and the building and the infrastructure and all of that, it has to start immediately.
And the World Cup's coming up this fall, and that's what they're going to talk about
yeah,
a lot,
exactly.
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... Very exciting.
I mean, it's just hilarious. Like the same event that's being hosted in Qatar, bought off of oil and corrupt money, is coming to Kansas City. Like
mm-hmm.
the same event.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hilarious.
All
it's
right.
like I used to, remember when like we used to have like a when the Royals were awful. Like remember?
Do
that?
I remember that?
Yeah.
I'm, and then I'm
we would
living
have, like,
it. I'm
we'd
living
have, like,
it.
Hilarious pitcher matchups. It'd be like Bruce Chinn versus...
Like on opening day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It'd be like Bruce Chinn versus Max Scherzer, or mm-hmm. like, you just like look up the pitching matchup and be like, oh my God, this is just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Yeah. But
City
again, the 33rd biggest market to get
yeah,
this
exactly.
is incredible.
There it is. Yeah.
That's punching above your weight. So, all right, let's keep the positive vibes going. This weekend we got to visit Boulevardia,
mm-hmm.
which... I mean, as far as like...
I like that you said it that way. Visit Boulevardia.
Mm-hmm.
You're buying into the marketing that they're trying to do, where it's
oh,
like
I'm
Boulevardia is a... It's a It's not a festival. It's a city. It's a place you go to visit.
Yeah, and I've never been to like an urban music festival. Usually I think music festivals out in a field, travel a little bit, but being in the city, down like in Crown Center, surrounded by buildings and high rises, it was a different vibe than I'd seen at music festivals before, mm-hmm. but it was an awesome one, an incredible one, and I think they've found a great spot right there.
I thought everything was really awesome. Mm-hmm. I think they need a bigger Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
The Ferris wheel was kind of small.
Bigger.
It needs to be, everything could be bigger. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it wasn't hard to get a beer at all. It wasn't hard to go to the bathroom. And it wasn't hard to get really good seats or a view for the main event or the mm-hmm. main show, which was Nathaniel Rateliff. Not Ratcliffe, which yep. we said Whoops. A thousand times. Sorry. Thanks, Dircher, for letting us know. So everything as far as logistics, easy to get around, easy to get beer, easy to go to the bathroom. All of that stuff, which I consider the most important things.
I do too.
Knocked it out of the park. Didn't have any issue with any of that. The ticketing was simple. All of that. Super great. Great mm-hmm. Instagram moments and little areas of art where you could take some influencer pics, which we did.
Yeah.
Great sunset.
Great stage setup too. Different mm-hmm. size stages, different areas where you could kind of go wander, walk around. Silent DJ.
Silent disco
was incredible.
The silent disco was in the ice skating rink.
Having that shade.
Yeah, that was nice.
And cool area to have the dance party that was the silent disco was incredible.
But I wish, so it was really fun a couple of years ago when we did a silent disco and it was a smaller area because it felt more like a rave.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the ice skating rink, it was almost too big of an area because there was so much space that it didn't have that same like bodies packed in rave type of a feel. And maybe I'm like alone in thinking that and maybe a lot of people like the space, but I kind of wanted it to be you know, when you're at a rave and you're just like body to body, like an EDM concert and you're just like bumping.
Yeah.
Well, but there was a lot of room for dancing.
It was easy to get in. Like,
for sure.
There
was
no line to get into the
Absolutely
silent disco,
not.
But it was still majority full. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you were dancing by yourself.
Well, you had to kind of move up to the front.
Oh, I didn't when I was there.
Okay.
It was pretty full.
Okay.
And just, I thought I was going to have to wait in line. If it was a smaller tent, no waiting in line.
Mm-hmm.
So that was awesome about it.
The Nathaniel Rateliff was looking
chunky.
Like he was not handling the heat well. I was nervous about, I don't know, something happening because he looks large.
And he had the sport coat on.
He looks like he ate Nathaniel Rateliff. From 2 years ago.
It was hot, but he put on a hell of a show.
He
just rocked out for an hour and 20 minutes
straight. He started early, too, which was nice.
I never heard of a concert starting early before.
He started 10 minutes early, which was fantastic.
But he did. Mm-hmm.
And played all the hits.
For like an hour straight, just rocked out, took a brief encore, came back out, and mm-hmm. crushed it.
Yeah.
So, and the stage was incredible. The music was great. Huge video boards.
Yeah.
So a legit, awesome festival.
Yeah, I hope it just continues to get bigger and bigger. And because there...
And just... All you can buy is Boulevard products, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and they have such a huge collection of, from seltzers to cocktails in a can to all these
For
beers
sure.
that you could drink really whatever you wanted,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
was awesome.
Yeah, it was sweet. Mm-hmm. I hope it continues to get bigger because I think they can just, I think they can put more people in there. Like, mm-hmm. they never were sold out of tickets, and I don't know if they got close to what they were anticipating, or maybe they had lighter crowds because people were afraid of the heat. But, honestly, we went Friday night, which was
cooled
a
off.
95-degree day. It's just like it's been all the last week. But it cooled off when the sun went down, and it really wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then they were making some Q-bombs, too. They had Quirk cocktails.
Oh, really?
They were adding some tequila into the...
Look
and
out.
Then they were pouring it in a bucket. Did you get one of those?
No,
you
I
see
didn't.
Those?
No.
Yeah. Taking a big 16-ounce Quirk, pouring it in a bucket with tequila.
Nice.
And then you drink it out of the bucket. It looked... I stayed away from that.
Yes. You've had some...
The heat.
You've had some running...
The
some
heat.
Bad experiences mm-hmm. Experimenting with that on your own.
Good times.
Yes.
Good times experimenting with that. But Boulevardia, yeah, it was awesome. I think they found a great home right
there
for
sure.
At Crown Center. So, also, Do you want to talk about the Royals? Because Cal Eldred is no longer on the hot seat, according to Dayton Moore, it sounded like today. He kind of deflected everything and said he's proud of him, thinks he's handling it well.
Cal's doing an amazing job, and I appreciate the question. Questions like that need to be asked. Dude, not only is he deflecting and saying, I mean, to say Cal Eldred is doing an amazing job is just like fucking hilarious because like anyone with two eyeballs, I mean, it's just insulting. But then to say questions like that need to be asked is so patronizing that it's just like, is Dayton Moore truly...
And conflicting what he... Like, if he's doing an amazing job, then that question doesn't need to be asked.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if that's
both
true...
Both things can't be true.
They both can't be true.
Yeah, so... Dayton can only be seen as... again, obviously what people say to the media is not how they feel, right? All that... Having said that, if we are to take him at his word, like he says he should be taken, then he's a legitimate psychopath and he has completely lost his mind. Because like you said, both those things can't be true. You can't have press conferences about accountability and then have the worst pitching staff by nearly every single metric in the majors and continue to say the person in charge of that is doing an amazing job. Like, if we are to take you at your word, a man of integrity and honesty and everything that he claims to be.
He wrote a book about that.
Then either he is lying or he is a complete lunatic who should not be in charge of running a McDonald's franchise, let alone a baseball team. Like, which one do you want to be, Dayton? A liar or a person who doesn't have the mental capacity?
I hope he's a liar.
I hope so too.
I hope he's just lying.
But I don't think he is. I want him to say that then.
That he's lying?
Then you have to admit to being a liar.
Yeah.
Or you have to admit to being completely incompetent and not have the sanity to be in charge of anything, really.
Yeah. Or he could just actually do what he says and hold people accountable and tell the truth.
Yeah.
And not say that he's doing an amazing job and not tell us you're going to hold people accountable and then let this shit show go on.
So you're a liar, Dayton Moore.
Mm-hmm.
You're a liar or you're insane and you... have completely lost your marbles. So one of those things is true. You pick, Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we have to say.
I saw a
Brad
good...
Brad Keller had a good outing.
Yeah.
Friend of the program.
There you go, Brad.
Good job, Brad.
Maybe we need to have him back on. Give him some good, mojo.
Just first question. Is Dayton Moore a liar?
Second question. What's your relationship with Cal Eldred like? Do you like third being question, your pitching
what
coach?
What does a pitching coach do?
Yeah. And... That would be a fun interview. All right. Yeah, that's all I have to say about the Royals.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about some openings.
I have not attempted to watch the Royals and
okay, well,
forever.
You could because Bally Sports Plus is coming out, and for $20 a month, you could watch the Royals.
Yeah,
or for $30 a month, you could go to every home game. It's a bargain.
We're in the openings and closings segment.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Good transition, but let's transition. Openings. Go ahead.
Bally Sports Plus.
Bally Sports Plus, the app that has been promised.
It is here.
Have fun launching that now because no one wants to watch
them. Who's going to pay for that?
Beat writers.
Yeah.
People who have blogs, people who have podcasts about the Royals, I guess.
Can we expense that? Let's write that off.
I mean, we probably could, but I don't want to. I don't care to.
Because as someone who...
I'll continue to expense us, euros.
Yeah, us cord cutters. At this point in the season, why would we...
No.
Buy...
No one will.
$20 a month.
It'll be, I do want to see like who buys that. Royals Review, which is one of the bigger blogs on the Royals and a really solid one, they did a poll and 76% of the people said they were not going to buy it who responded to this poll. So,
and those are probably cord cutters.
And those are probably huge Royals fans because they're reading a Royals blog.
Mm-hmm.
That's
probably their target audience.
Yeah.
And I can't see that going over very well with how bad the team is. The frustration that the app's going, like, I don't trust that app.
Oh, no, the tech has been shit behind the...
I don't trust that at all. So
absolutely not, yeah.
Not much appeal.
So $19.99 per month, you can stream every Royals game. It also gets you Thunder games, which that team stinks.
They're bad.
Didn't they have the worst record?
They've got a lot of draft picks.
Yeah, they have, they have like 12 draft picks over the next
a lot of draft
3 years.
Up.
And you get Blues games, which is a successful franchise.
Yes.
They did go to the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. I think they won a couple of series.
They won a series.
A series. They're decent. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be probably some gambling aspects involved in the broadcast because Bally Sports is a gaming company, or Bally is a gaming company that owns like sports books and casinos and different things like that. So now that Kansas, more on that, is legal to sports bet.
That's a good transition too.
Yeah. So, but the Red Sox app is $30 a month, so discount for being shit franchises here with the Royals and Thunder. Can you imagine living in Oklahoma City and being like, oh, now we have to pay for this Bally Sports app to watch the Thunder, and it's like, we have to watch the Royals on the app? Like, that sucks for the
We have to watch the Thunder on the app?
Okay, but yes, I guess the same
thing. They suck. Yeah. But good transition into sports betting.
Yeah.
Because sports betting in Kansas is going to be launching soon. July 1st is the kind of the date that says, all right, here we go.
Yeah, July 1st. Sports betting is legal in the state of Kansas, Missouri. You are so dumb for not doing this. And it's going to be very annoying because I'm just going to have to like drive across the state line to place my futures bets. And I won't be able to sit at home and do the fun, like live betting that can be fun during games, but
you won't.
But yeah, this is,
come over to the lower level, watch some games with me and we'll bet.
Yeah. Oh man, we got to get John Ritz.
Addicted?
Signed up and get him addicted. That would be hilarious. Teach Kathy Ritz how to sports bet on an app. That will be funny.
I would love to watch that.
We should do that. And then just have her like teach her about live betting and just be like, okay, what do you think is going to happen here? And have her start to live bet games.
I bet she'd be good.
That would be amazing. That's our mom, Kathy Ritz.
Yeah,
if you didn't know what you're talking about.
The very limited amount of gambling I've done on apps when I've been in Denver, I'm over the century.
Yeah.
Because I'm always just picking dumb bets with big odds.
Yeah,
because
you're the public.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I'm a sucker.
Great. But yeah, we should go over and do some Chiefs futures bets and some season-long bets so I can just like place those all at once and then be done with it.
Okay, Mahomes MVP.
Yeah, obviously.
Book it.
Yeah.
Book it.
Yeah. Chiefs to win the West, Chiefs to win the, all of that good stuff.
All right. Also opening this week.
Oh, so also now
more on
in Kansas,
betting?
Like all the casinos can start adding sports books. So like Hollywood and... I think Ameristar is in
Hollywood, Kansas Crossing, Kansas Star, Boot Hill Casino.
Okay, so Hollywood's the only big one.
Hollywood's the only big one. They're owned by Penn, so they'll have like a Barstool sports book.
Okay, cool.
Is my guess.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So, all right. Which, have you been to the Hollywood Casino?
No, but I know you went.
Yeah, it's a trip with just the, because truly the Hollywood memorabilia theme and smoking. Yeah, just, but doesn't have the greatest. Filtration system, so it's not like you leave there not smelling like smoke.
Can't wait.
Big slot machine casino.
Every but casino is
the sports book. I think will be a fun addition out there.
Excellent.
All right. Also opening, we got a restaurant, new location.
What do you have here?
The Briarcliff Barrio.
Oh yeah, Briarcliff Barrio is opening tomorrow, Wednesday.
So Wednesday the 22nd.
Barrio, which is a Mexican restaurant that now has, this is the third location. They've got it nice and laid out. They've got one in Redbridge on 119th and Holmes. They've got one in Brookside. And now they've got one up north in Briarcliff. Mm-hmm. Barrio is fun, average Mexican food, I would say. Like, go for a happy hour. I don't think, like, it's really that good of Mexican food, to be honest, but they have good margaritas, they have a good happy hour,
good chips and salsa.
It's always fun. Like, I was at last week on like a Thursday, I stopped by Brookside Barrio for a happy hour and it was like packed.
Every happy hour seems to be packed.
Yeah, so they've got a fun thing going, so it's fun time, but it's not just like, it's not like great Mexican food, but it's a good time. So they've got like their audience figured out, I think.
Yeah, they've got a dueling pianos on Friday. This weekend.
Yeah, so it's like a party.
Saturday, DJ John Sabillon at brunch, so a brunch DJ, which sounds really fun. And then a band Saturday night. It's weird that
brunch DJs are like a thing.
They're becoming, yes, a thing.
Yeah, it's very
odd. Brunch is getting turned up.
Yeah.
Yeah, social does it. It's a thing.
Yeah, I know. I've been to places like in other cities, like in Chicago and New York, where it's like brunch DJs, like the thing.
I guess that's a good way to wake up. All right. Also, that's our openings this week. Closing this week, designated for assignment, Lorenzo Cain, one of my favorite Royals of all time.
Yeah.
So got DFA'd, might retire, don't really know what his future looks like just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Dayton Moore's definitely thinking about it.
Oh, I mean, if Dayton Moore is a man of integrity, you should sign him right now.
He's definitely thinking about it.
And Lorenzo Cain went back to church and like had a re-spiritual awakening type of a thing in 2020.
Sounds like Dayton Moore's guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. So one of my favorite Royals of all time. It might be the end for him. So I've got a mixed plate at the end of the show. Best Lorenzo Cain plays.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, by all accounts and everyone, Andy McCullough wrote a really good article in The Athletic on Lorenzo Cain. And Lorenzo, you know, has known that this is it, basically. This is the last year of his 5-year, $80 million contract. So he played out, you know, 4.5 years of that contract. Plus, he got the Brewers did him good because the day after he got his 10 years of MLB service is when they DFA'd him. So he reached that 10-year milestone, which gets you a lot better like pension and retirement benefits. Plus, you know, it's an important milestone for a lot of MLBers. And did you know that he like didn't play baseball until high school and just like showed up
in jean shorts just and showed up basketball to shoes?
Tryouts and basketball shoes and had to borrow a glove? Did you know that?
I have actually heard that.
Not a lot of people know that story.
I think only because I'm a Royals fan I know.
No one else knows that story. No, just kidding. For anyone not in on the joke, that is like the Patrick Mahomes' dad
played baseball
and he played shortstop in high school. Like, constantly tell that story. But yeah, Lorenzo Cain, yeah, one of my, I think I'm willing to say, like, I don't know. He might be number one.
Yeah.
On my favorite Royals.
He's probably a lot of people's
when
he was the best player on our team.
He was the best player on our team for 2014. He finished third in the MVP voting in 2015, the year we won the World Series. He's a two-time All-Star. Went to the All-Star game in 2018 as well. Won a couple of playoff series with the Brewers. He's got some great highlights, which I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah. All right. So that's our closing
Plus,
for
like
this
every,
week.
Plus, like, I go through, I have Time Hop, like, on my phone, and, like, every day there's one of those four years, a Lorenzo Cain tweet. Yeah, a Lorenzo Cain tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every single day.
Yep. All right. Let's move into a little what we tried this week.
By the way, Lorenzo Cain, this season, his batting average is .168.
Yeah, yeah.
With so that's why 449.
That's why OPS. Dayton Moore is licking his chops, thinking about bringing him back.
He's like, "Can I put that guy in the four hole?"
Yeah, yeah. All right. So a little, what we tried this week? This week, I finally got my hands on a one of the bomb pop, the quirks.
Oh, nice.
The quirk flavored bomb pops.
Yeah.
And my only complaint is you have to buy a 12 pack of them or a 6 pack. They're not mixed into any variety packs yet.
Yeah.
So you got to commit.
Okay.
But it's good to just bring and share.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very shareable. So if you're showing up to a party, you'll make everybody happy because everyone will probably just want one, even though I don't think it's any sweeter or harder to drink than any of the other quirks. Like, I think it stays consistent with being able to throw a few back and not feel oversweet or sugary.
I think it's on the sweeter end of the spectrum. Like, if we're going pear yuzucon on one side.
Pear yuzu?
What? Pear yuzu.
Yeah.
Is that like the peninsula where Cancun is on, like, the something?
The Baja Peninsula.
Yuzucon.
Oh, I don't know. It could be. I was thinking of Cabo.
Yucatan Peninsula.
You're close.
So anyways, I think it's on the further end of the
sweet. Yeah, but it's kind of like bringing a Taco Bell party pack to a party.
Solid move.
Bring 12 of them, share them. Everyone's going to want to try one this summer, so it's a good move. A tasty little seltzer.
Yeah. All right.
And it truly is very nostalgic how much
it tastes like a bomb pop.
Exactly.
It's great
like
colors. I mean, I'm going to be drinking them on 4th of July, like, no doubt.
Yeah.
Next to a Bud Heavy. Just a
America.
Yeah, just like take a picture of those two
in a cherry pie
portrait
or
mode.
Apple pie.
Oh my God, it's gonna look amazing at the Lake of the Ozarks. It's so American. This week, still on my Euro kick. I tried shawarma.
Shawarma.
By the Costco.
Okay.
Taco Bell.
I've always driven by and I've thought that looks like a good spot. I want to try it out.
It is. I don't think it's not like a fast food chain. I think it's a local restaurant, but I mean, it's a fast food Euro. Like, it is very small.
Okay.
It is not filling and it is not very good.
Oh, boy.
It does not look
meat
like
meat quality, toppings,
meat quality,
ratios.
Low. The, there was like two pieces of meat in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the McDonald's equivalent of
like an Arby's Euro.
Yeah.
Arby's probably stacks. There's fuller of meat.
Well, I'll go. That's a good point. I'll try Arby's.
You should
Arby's.
Try Arby's. They're on sale right now. I keep getting ads
but,
on Twitter.
Well, I'm going to get them now. The, so the shawarma
Everybody's gonna
on
get
Maine.
Them now.
Yeah. The shawarma on Maine, it's on the bottom of the list.
Okay.
It is not near the top. So, no worries, Papu's and Haha's and some of those others near the top. Your place is safe for now, for another week, because shawarma was not very good. And, yeah, the fries were pretty forgettable as well. So,
darn
a good lemonade. I had a good lemonade.
Okay. I mean, it was probably like a Minute Maid lemonade or
probably.
What? Okay.
So yeah, that's shawarma. I also, this weekend
you saved me a trip.
Yeah. This weekend I did, I tried, this is really smart. I did, had to lay a lot of insulation in my attic.
That's dumb.
I did a lot of attic work this weekend. That was
is that what you figured out? That's where the heat was going, you think?
Or
why
I think
it was
we solved
so hot?
The problem. Yeah.
It was just no insulation.
There's a corner of the house. It looked like whoever did the insulation upstairs just ran out of the blowing insulation and then just said, fuck it. No one's going to come up here and check my work. And so they just didn't do the far corner. And so I went up there and I was like, why is this corner of the house and it's the nursery? Why is it so hot? So there's no insulation above
Any
the nursery.
Any tangible results yet?
Yeah, definitely. It's dropped like 4 to 5 degrees in there.
That's like best case scenario.
Yeah,
probably.
Exactly.
That's
and,
probably a cheap fix.
Because we had to have Maddie, we had to have the 4-month-old sleeping in our room
so
for
hot.
The last week because her room, the nursery, it was too hot. So now that solved a lot of problems. The house is not as hot and the baby is not sleeping in our room anymore.
Wow, win-win.
Exactly.
Win-win.
It just took 2 hours up in the attic when the attic was probably 120 degrees. It was so hot. I was tripping, I think, because I was so hot. Just needed a little peyote and I could have had a desert spiritual experience.
Yeah. just picturing you sweating it up there. Just a sweat lodge.
Mm-hmm. Just come on over.
Yeah,
you just sit up there,
the
kumbaya. Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's move into, okay. This is exciting. Hey, look, there's KC. We're going to be all over the map, or all over the news. I feel like
right.
coming up, June 24th and 25th because
that's
the,
this weekend.
The Big Slick softball tournament or game will be at
Big Slick is back
at Kauffman this
was it back
weekend.
Last year? Do you remember?
I don't
if they did
remember
it last
if
year?
They did it last
okay.
year. They definitely did in 2019.
Yeah.
But yeah, not 2022. I don't remember it last year.
Yeah, Big Slick is back. This is the fundraiser that was started in 2010 by Rob Riggle, Paul Rudd, Jason Sudeikis. They started it, and now
David Koechner. Don't forget
now
him.
Eric Stonestreet and David Koechner are also serving on as part of the host and committee. All the Kansas City comedian celebrities. It raises money for Children's Mercy and a couple other. Nonprofits. They've raised over $13,000.
$13 million.
$13,000.
$13 million.
Wow! Look at these guys. $13,000. So they have all these celebrities coming down for a softball tournament, So this year,
solid
it looks
lineup.
Like a not their best lineup of celebrities, because in the past they've had some pretty big celebrities. I'm looking at the lineup right now.
Adam Scott
is definitely the biggest.
Bigger than James Vanderbeek and Peter Schrager.
I mean, James Vanderbeek is up there. David Cook still gets invited to these things, so shout out David Cook. who competed in American Idol. Did he win or did he get like second?
I don't even know if it was American Idol or another show, honestly.
The Voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heidi Gardner is also a big one as of late. She's on SNL.
Sean Evans from Hot Ones.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So he's an internet. He hosts an internet talk show. What a huge celebrity.
Yeah, he hosts like a network game show now, too.
Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football. Sheryl Crow, not a big deal. Missouri Tiger. So Joe Tessitore. So, yeah.
And an Impractical Joker.
Oh, wow.
James Murray. So
Joker.
A Joker.
And
just
Joker.
One of the Impractical Joker.
The therapist from Step Brothers is going to be here. Her name is Andrea Savage. So, yeah, I mean, they've had bigger lineup. So, but I mean, Adam Scott is pretty hot right now.
Yeah. Go see it. What's the show that I watch?
Severance. But yeah, so softball game on Saturday night, right?
Also, David Zayas is an all-time, like, you recognize that guy and you have no idea.
No, I definitely don't even recognize
No idea him. Why you would know
No,
his
Dylan
name.
Baker is a guy that I, like, recognize him and I'm like, how do I know you? What are you from?
No, David Zayas has been in some TV shows and I don't know which one, but Dexter. That's it.
Never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, but it's going to be fun, you know?
Oh, that might be a second Impractical Joker too. You think Brian Quinn, is he an Impractical Joker as well?
Dude.
Have you been watching?
No, I have not been following along. No.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately.
I think he might be.
Who are the Potish? Like, we should be in this.
Dang it.
Kevin Pollak is an ultimate, like...
Probably sent it to the
Kevin
state
Kevin Pollak is an ultimate guy, like, that's just kind of, like, in movies. He plays Lieutenant Weinberg in A Few Good Men and just catches that random stray by Jack Nicholson in his speech. Who's gonna do it? You, Lieutenant Weinberg! He's like, what the hell did I do? Like,
why did I... stray bullet.
What did I do?
He's gonna be in it?
He's there, yeah. His name's Kevin Pollak.
What a lineup. All right, let's keep moving along here. Next up, we've got our personal pine tar this week. For me, I've got to go back to the office to work. One day a week is the requirement. That's it. And
1 day a week?
Dude, tell me about it.
Why is that even a rule? That's the dumbest thing.
Dude, come on. We're just in corporate America, and we need to bond. And so we're going back 1 day a week. And I don't know what to wear, I think is probably
is
the most.
Is it the same day?
Tuesdays.
Everyone has to go in.
Everybody's going
Tuesdays.
In on Tuesdays.
So they're going to.
Taco Tuesdays in the office. Yep. Yeah.
What, like, okay, never mind. I mean, like, the amount of resources that are going to be used to have one person, to have people come in 1 day a week is just hilarious.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's weird. But.
Is Larry making you do it?
No, Larry's pretty pro work from home.
Okay.
Because he has his own island, you know?
Yes.
So he's very like pro work from home.
Yeah, yeah.
When you work own your remote. Own island.
He's really remote.
When you own your own island, you're very pro work remote. But yeah, I don't know what to wear. It's probably the most stressful thing. Like I just kind of forgot what to wear to an office. It's been 2 years.
Can you wear shorts?
I think technically at the campus I'm going to, you can, but... That would be weird.
Yeah, I don't want to see my coworkers in shorts.
And then, planning a commute, planning bringing a lunch, like all of these things, just being gone from the house for that long to the new one, the Innovations Campus. But
is that on Bannister?
On 87th Street.
Okay,
kind of
yeah.
But just being gone from the house for like that long is weird to me still.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking forward to it, really.
Yeah.
But I have to put on a happy face because we're having a celebration about the Oracle buying Cerner official. So
okay.
We're going to celebrate.
It's funny, too, because like COVID cases are like kind of on the rise again.
I know.
So they're going to like send out an email next week like, oh, well, actually, cases are on the rise.
Yeah.
So that 1 day
I wouldn't
week,
be surprised if I woke
it.
Up to that email and we weren't going in, honestly.
Yeah, what are you gonna
At
do
this
for
point,
lunch?
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I think they're supplying a lunch because we're celebrating.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. So heading back to the office 1 day a week. Here we go.
Doesn't make a lot of sense in my mind, but I'm not going to sit here and dog your employer on your podcast.
Yeah. As long as people know it's you doing it,
okay.
Not me. Hopefully our voices, people can tell the difference,
it's kinda
which
hard
is difficult.
Yeah.
And this doesn't come back to bite me, but yeah. Going
All
back
right.
in.
So my personal pine tar, I've been going into the office like every day for a year and a half, 2 years probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not difficult.
No.
But when you just go for 2 years without it,
yeah,
it's a foreign thing.
I can't work from home anymore. Like it's
foreign.
I can't do it from home. Like it drives me mad. All right. My personal pine tar. So like I'm a dad now, a father of two.
Congrats.
And people send me funny content on Instagram that is like very relatable to dads and to like families. And so Instagram thinks I'm into family creator content and it's feeding it to me. And let me tell you what, there is nothing worse on the internet than couples and family content on Instagram, like done by the creators where that's their full-time job and they just put out like family content. Granted, this is supposed to be funny content, like
mm-hmm.
because the ones that are funny, you know, people send them to me because they're funny. So Instagram is doing its algorithm thing and it thinks I'm interested in it. And I've just been blocking so many random, because now Instagram really just like sends you so yeah. much stuff mm-hmm. that you don't subscribe to or you don't follow. And right now it is all just like couples content and family content. And I'm just like, I understand the content game, right? Like we're kind of in it in a very mm-hmm. way where we obviously our livelihood doesn't depend on it. And like we are shit. We're really bad at at content other than putting out the podcast, right?
Right,
like,
right.
We're not great at Instagram and all that other stuff that we should be good
we're
at.
We're not making reels.
We're not doing that.
No.
The life of those people, it just makes me sad. Mm-hmm. And like some of the stuff that they create is just like, did you really think this was funny or did you just have to put something out? Because this is so unfunny. It makes me want to crawl out of my skin and just like cancel the entire internet.
Couples pranking each other is probably my least favorite videos of all time.
They try to pretend like they're not acting.
All you do is videotape each other all day. How could you get fooled or pranked by someone who's videotaping you all day?
It's so cringy. It's some of the worst parts of the internet. It makes me want to cancel all of it. Just destroy the internet completely. It's so brutal. It's so, so bad. So anyways,
we're
I don't know what to do about it, but yeah,
there's
like
nothing
the couples,
you can
like,
do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And like, or like gym couples or
families just shooting the confetti cannon at each other.
Yeah, it's just like, or like the, oh my, I can't even. So anyways, that's the content that Instagram thinks I'm interested in now, like family creators. Mm-hmm. And it's the worst place and part of the internet, and I hate it so much. So that's my personal pine tar.
I thought you were going with it. You were going to get too many like dad joke
yeah.
content.
I get a fair amount of those.
Because I got dad a Father's Day card, mm-hmm. and it was a thermometer, and it said, can't touch this.
Can't touch this.
Like the MC Hammer song.
It was a thermostat. Yeah.
Thermostat.
Okay. Yeah.
It said, can't touch this.
Uh-huh.
And I think I offended him with it.
Because it was so lame.
He was like, we have a digital thermostat like that I program.
Yeah, I do it on my phone
like,
now.
Is it hot in here? Like, do you need me to turn it down? Like, I'll turn it down for you. It's not a big deal. Like, just say it's hot and I'll turn it down. I was like, that is a joke. Like
That's the joke. You know the joke about like the stereotypical joke that all dads don't allow you to touch the thermostat?
Mm-hmm.
right over his head.
This card fell so flat and I thought it was hilarious. And it was just like, is it hot in here? Like I'll turn it down. Like it's a digital thermostat. I can turn it down from my phone actually. I don't have this dial. And I don't set it at 74 either. Like you marked that I set it at 74. Like I don't know. That's not where I have it set.
It's like, did you create this card? Did you go on like www.cardcreator.com?
So what's the joke? He kept asking me and I was like,
so what's the joke? Yeah. I can't afford my heating bill at night. Is that the joke? I get beet red for my family photos. Is that the joke?
Oh man. So it was just a swing and a miss by me. It was pretty funny though.
Solid.
So what's inside the card that matters though? All right, let's get into this mix plate of Lorenzo Cain plays, our favorite plays from Lorenzo Cain's career.
Yep.
I did all Royals plays. Do you have any Brewers plays?
I do have one.
Okay, because he made some sweet plays.
He did.
So we can do Lorenzo Cain plays, mix plate.
Mix plate.
Episode 163, you're up.
All right, yeah, easy. Meet number one here. Scoring from first on the single from Eric Hosmer. I was at that game. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that on the show, that I was at game six against the Blue Jays.
A time or two.
But an incredible play for a ton of reasons, the scouting that went into it. Did you know that? Did you know that we scouted ahead of
Alex
time?
Alex Zumwalt, yeah.
I just feel like we've talked so much about those things that it's just like, it's hard to bring it up in situations like this. But like the scoring for first play, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's one of my, whenever people shit on Joe Buck, it's like one of Joe Buck's best calls. It's one of the most memorable calls from that series. He can fly right when he scores, just popping up. Just an amazing play, an amazing game. That's my meaningful.
In the eighth inning.
Yeah, in the eighth inning. The scouting that went into it. Jose Bautista. What a dum-dum.
He throws the second. All right, I'm going with my meat number one here is going to be the back-to-back catches versus the Angels.
Dang it. So you're taking both catches?
Yeah, I'm taking both of them.
Wow.
Because that was the moment.
Okay,
the back-to-back.
Well, we said Lorenzo Cain plays.
Okay, well, I'm taking two of them and forming them into one.
Okay, that's fine.
And I think it was it on Mike Trout and Albert Pujols, I want to say?
The first one was on that other meathead with the big
neck.
Oh,
Cole Calhoun. And Mike Trout, maybe, or Pujols?
I can't remember who.
I think it was Pujols and Calhoun.
The diving catch coming forward?
Yeah.
Or kind of
they were
forward.
Both diving.
Well, the one. I thought the first
the second one was diving.
One was robbing it up against the wall in the top of the first inning.
This happened in the first inning?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the first inning of game one.
Mm-hmm.
And he caught one that.
Not game one. It was game three at home.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Then I'll back off.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Game three.
I know what you're talking about.
Two sliding catches,
coming
diving
in,
catches
right?
coming in
yes.
in a row.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
And he went nuts.
And
after the second
nuts,
one, it was just
third
like celebrating.
Out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that was
those
insane.
Are the two catches I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Side number, or meet number two for me. I will say, the three-run double in game five against the Mets in the 15th or 13th inning, right? Mm-hmm. Blew the game open. Another great call by Joe Buck. I don't know why I'm defending Joe Buck, but I can remember that call where he says, and they've blown this game wide open. Bases clearing double. Just that ball just sailed forever into the biggest gap I've ever seen. And it was just like an automatic, you knew it was a double. You knew it was scoring. You knew the game was over. But you knew we were winning the World Series at that moment. And it was an incredible hit. And yes, it's great. I'm doing better than you are now, by the way.
all right. I'm going to go with my meat number two here. Let's see. Probably 2014. I'll go defense again.
I have mine are all defensive.
And I'm going to go
except that one.
Game two, bottom six against the Orioles. He made a diving catch running to his left with the game tied. And it was just the amount of ground he covered on that.
It doesn't look possible.
Yeah, he's closer. Nori Aoki is so much closer starting where he starts to the ball than Lorenzo Cain. And the ground he covers is just, it's insane.
That was he would just run like, he would run in a squatted position, so he was like already ready to dive.
Yeah, it was insane. So that's what I'm going with.
All right.
Game two.
All right, side number one for me. Dang it. I'll go with this isn't a playoff game, against the Orioles, he robbed a home run where his entire arm was over
that
the
was
fence.
Sick.
Moving to his
was
left.
Like 2015 or 2016? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But running to his left, again, full speed, jumps as high as he can, robs, and Yordano was pitching, and just stole a home run with his full arm extended over the wall against the Orioles. And it was one of the best catches I've ever seen. It wasn't a playoff game, but it was still sick. And that's my side number one.
Okay. All right. My side number one, I'm going to go with the Sonic Slam, Grand Slam, to win someone $25,000 on the 4th of July in 2013. So
wow.
For the Sonic Slam to actually happen, was incredible.
On the fourth?
On the fourth. And he, you know, did his Lorenzo Cain lean back on the home run, too, yeah. which was awesome.
There's some bombs that he hit when he was just
so,
leaning back.
That's what I'm going with. The Sonic Slam, Grand Slam.
Okay. Side number two for me, I'm going with trying to fight the White Sox.
Yes.
So...
All-time also, picture.
Also the meme that got created after that, because his jersey was pulled over his head
like
when
Cornholio.
He was trying to fight Samardzija, or who was it? The tall, who was it?
Samardzija.
Yeah, Samardzija.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the White Sox, and his jersey's pulled halfway over his head. And yeah, he looks like Cornholio from Beavis and Butthead, and it's an all-time pick, but he was just going nuts, and you just never see him... You know, Lorenzo Cain is known for his smile, his defense, like being the nicest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. And he was absolutely heated and going nuts for that fight. And it was a great moment. That was when we were the bad boys.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a fun.
Everybody wanted to fight us.
That was such a fun beginning of the season, beginning of 2015, when we got in fights every other day. It was mm-hmm. awesome.
All right. I don't know why this one is kind of low key. But it's my side number two, so I'm okay with that. It was the game, I think it was game, I can't remember what game it was, game two against the Blue Jays in the uh-huh. ALCS, when Zobrist hit the pop-up that got dropped between
oh yeah
the second baseman and Batista,
mm-hmm.
and then the next guy up was Lorenzo Cain, and he hit a single, and at that point, it was just like, okay, that mm-hmm. was it.
Because
like,
we because that was
now the floodgates
that the
are open.
Inning of that drop.
It was later in the game.
Yeah,
and
because we were doing nothing, we
had
been
done
shut
nothing.
Out.
We'd yeah. done nothing all day against David Price.
That's
and
right.
And
yeah.
he was into his 90 some pitches at that point. The pop up drop, then Lorenzo Cain singled, and then the train just kept moving, and we had a huge inning, and that mm-hmm. was I just remember that
yep.
single to follow it like. Okay.
He also
the
had
the line's moving.
Yeah, that's a good one. So honorable mentions. He also had the first single that scored runs against the Astros in the eighth
yep.
inning of the comeback. So like it was 6-2 and the bases were loaded, and then his single was the first hit to drive in a run as that train kept moving.
Mm-hmm. Not a play, but the whole interviews where they would just mix in the 17-38 mm-hmm. was awesome.
Also, like yeah, him and Salvi, their relationship, just loving each other. So the Angels, we kind of talked about it, but he in game one, in first inning of game one against the Angels, it wasn't a home run because they had that tall fence out in right field,
mm-hmm.
but like he full, as high as he could jump, full extended, robbed a catch up against the fence. He also robbed George Springer, not in the playoffs, but in a regular season game, robbed a home run of mm-hmm. George Springer's. The Orioles play that I was going to talk about, but I didn't. The Brewers, when he was with the Brewers, he had a walk-off home run rob
yep.
against the Cardinals. So the Brewers were up 5-4, and someone hit a home run, and there was two outs in the ninth, and he robbed it to end the game. Went absolutely nuts, just threw the ball up into mm-hmm. the air, which was sweet. So that was an amazing play that I remember, like, you know, that was... The Royals were bad again, and I was following all those ex-players. Still, mm-hmm. like, what
2018.
News? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, great list. Only won one gold glove, all those incredible
Jeez
defensive
Louise.
Plays. It's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a real shame. But I remember the speech after winning the ALCS MVP. He
mm-hmm.
hit 533 in that series.
Good Lord.
And I remember his speech being incredible, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, that'll do it for us this week. Thanks for listening. A couple more weeks till the Lake episode.
One more episode,
then Lake episode.
Then the Lake episode.
So stay tuned. So thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on State Your Line or on social media at State Your Line, and we'll see you around Kansas City.